Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And students who are wanting to make a note as to what is the key point today, the key point is that God knew from the beginning how he would save his children. God knew from the beginning how he would save his children. Genesis chapter 22, this is God's word. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I cannot imagine I try to imagine, but I cannot grasp what it would be like. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Now Isaac is becoming a young man. And his father is told to take him and offer him as a burnt offering. What do you do? How do you respond? God had told him to go ahead and send Ishmael away, and Ishmael had been sent away. He now has one son, the one he's waited for all his life. The person that is most precious to him at this point. This is the fulfillment, the embodiment of all that God has promised to him. It was a miracle. And God gave him that boy. And now God says, give him back. Offer him up to me as a sacrifice. How can that be? But God didn't just say, offer him up as a sacrifice. God said, there is a special place where you're to meet with me. There is a place where this sacrifice is to be made. So we read at the beginning of the story about God saying, go to the place I will show you. Go to the place I will tell you about. And Abraham goes there, and it's a journey. But the place he goes is Mount Moriah. It's a place where I've been. It's the place where Jesus would die. It isn't where Abraham was living. It was a journey, several days. But it was the place that God had chosen where he would offer up his only son. The miracle baby, born of a virgin, sinless, the only person in human history who never, ever sinned, never did anything wrong. And Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, would be offered there on that mountain. That is even more incomprehensible than Abraham offering up Isaac. Isaac was a miracle child, but he was not perfect. He was a good boy, obedient to his father, but he was not perfect. Jesus is the only one who has ever been perfect. And that's why Jesus is the only one who could take away the sin of the world. Jesus comes as the Lamb of God, the substitute, the one who dies in place of others. Abraham and Isaac got a little picture of that. When he's about to slay his son as the sacrifice God demands, and God says, no, I've provided.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day-to-day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us. Help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand.
Now, how did Abraham deal with all of this? Well, the Bible tells us how. In the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. That's how Abraham could do what he did. He knew that God keeps his promises, and that if necessary, God is stronger than death and would be able to give him his son back. And so we read in this story that Abraham said to the servants in verse 5, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." That was not deceit. That was not trickery. That was faith. Abraham said, "We're coming back. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I know that God is able. God gave me a child when I was 100 years old. And I know that God can do this. And I have to do what God tells me to do, but I know that God will do what he has said he will do. And so I'm going to trust him and I'm going to obey him. And God's going to do what he said. God told me that it's through Isaac that I will have offspring. And I know that God keeps his promises." And so believing that God can raise the dead, Abraham acted in faith. Imagine the faith of Isaac, allowing himself to be tied up and placed on the altar. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. This boy had seen sacrifices before. He already wondered, what's going on? Why is Dad acting so strangely? Dad's got the fire there in a container. That's what it means that he carried the fire. Dad has the fire. Dad has the wood. But where's the lamb? Isaac wondered what's going on, and then his dad ties him up and places him on the wood and draws the knife. You talk about a traumatic experience. What would you think? God was at work in the scariest of situations, not for the purpose of terrifying these people, but for the purpose of giving them and us a picture of what God would do for us. Nobody else could take away the sin of the world. Nobody else. I've sinned, so I owe my life. I can't offer my life as a sacrifice to save someone else, as the sin bearer, as the one who would receive the wrath of God. I can't die in the place of someone else. I deserve death. I deserve God's wrath. And you do too. And we will never appreciate the sacrifice that God provided in Jesus Christ unless we realize that we deserve to die. Not just physically to die, but to die eternally, to be separated from God, to be cut off. We live in a world where people are desperately trying to encourage one another that you're okay, you're good, you're worthy, you're a good person. Don't feel badly, don't be down on yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, "I am beautiful. I am wonderful. I am intelligent and I am good and I deserve good things to happen to me." Well, that's a bunch of gas. The fact of the matter is, you have some wonderful traits. All of you have more potential than you realize. And you have taken it and used it for ill. Yes, God has given you abilities. And what have you done with them? Well, been selfish, that's what. Oh, sometimes we do things for other people, but then we congratulate ourselves. You heard about the preacher who was given a medallion for his humility, but then the church had to take it away from him because he wore it. All of us, we have this chronic problem called sin. If you think that you haven't done anything wrong, you can add lying to the mix. You're lying to yourself. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the Bible says. We're just fooling ourselves. I've had people tell me, you know my problem? I care too much about others. I'm thinking, you just have no idea. That is not your problem. Okay? That is not your... I just need to be more selfish. I've had people say that to me. I just need to be more selfish. I need to care more and think more about myself and my needs and what I ought to do. I'm thinking, I've never met anybody who thinks more about their own situation and their own needs than you. What are you talking about? But we deceive ourselves. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we don't really see it. We compare ourselves to other people, and you can always find people who are bigger screw-ups than you. Always. I mean, you don't have to look far. You will find people who make you feel good about yourself. Well, you know, I'm no Mother Teresa, but I'm certainly no Adolf Hitler. Okay. Well, gee, thanks. That's a big endorsement. No, this person is no Adolf Hitler, I'll tell you that right now. Isn't that what you'd like for people to say about you? Okay? Not Hitler. Not Hitler. No, no. We don't recognize our sin until we glimpse God's holiness. When we see His perfection, when we see His greatness, when we see His purity, then we say with Isaiah, woe is me, I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I am constantly amazed that God puts up with me. I have an astounding capacity to make the same mistake multiple times. Wouldn't you like to think that once you make a mistake, you don't do that again? I was watching someone work recently, and they bumped their head 3 times in a row on the same thing while doing that job. I thought, gee, you'd think, you know, after once or maybe twice, they'd get it. But no, they're like me. Can keep on making the same mistake over and over. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? It's like, how could you do that? And one of the things I'm especially proficient at is saying the wrong thing. I have an uncanny ability to come up with just the wrong thing to say at just the wrong moment. It's just, how do I do that? I don't know. And when I need to stop, be quiet, it just comes out. And then I think, Lord, I'm so sorry. And the amazing thing is, God in His mercy not only allows me to live, but He turns around and uses me again. He uses me for His glory despite my frailty, despite my sin. I'm righteous in His sight because of Jesus. Not because of what I've done, not because I'm a good person, but because God in His mercy has chosen to declare me righteous on the basis of what someone else did in my place. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and offered his life as the atoning sacrifice for sin. And God had that planned from the beginning. Back at the start of this book, when Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden, God made a promise. And the promise was that the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, would crush the serpent's head. Evil would be destroyed by the offspring of the woman. And God made a covering for their shame and their guilt from animal skins, the first sacrifice. And that was to point to the ultimate sacrifice that would take place there on Mount Moriah. And so that theme, that pattern, that picture is repeated all through the Old Testament with greater and greater clarity and more explanation, so that in Jeremiah we read about the new covenant that God's going to make with his people. So that in Isaiah we read about the suffering servant who would be beaten and who would be persecuted and who would be killed in our place. God increasingly drawing back the veil and showing us. But folks, this is one of the clearest pictures in all the Bible of that sacrifice. Remember again what God says to him. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. God was not being cruel. God was making a promise. Was Abraham tested? Yes. Did God already know the outcome? Of course he did. He knew exactly how Abraham would respond, and he knew exactly how he would spare Isaac's life. Abraham didn't know. Abraham didn't know the extent of his own faith. But God knew. Because God knew that that's where his son would die. And that's why God did this. God is not cruel. He may ask of you the unthinkable. He may call you to places you would not choose to go, to do things that you would not be eager to do. But as you obey God, you discover that his plan for you is full of grace. It is full of blessing. Because God is stronger than death. And his grace is greater than our sin. And he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, the son he loves, so that we could be forgiven. That is good news.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.